Yo, what's up? It's your boy John Cena repping SmackDown.
So, you think you're untouchable?
Repping WWE.
Word life. This is basic thugonomics.
Repping the chain gang.
This is basic thugonomics.
Word life. You listening to WTR Sunday night.
I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me.
WTR Sunday night, you heard? What up?
This is Booker T. Hey, everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, you got Terry Funk here.
This is Jerry Lynn.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back inside the square circle to once again bring you WrestleTalk Radio.
Politically incorrect and damn proud of it.
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school, from the WWE.
This is Natty Neidhart.
This is Stampede 50 to Wilson.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Gail Kim.
TNA.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
I'm Mojo.
Hi, this is Chrissy Annie, TNA Knockout.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
And the indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it.
With your hosts.
This is not a door to logical sense.
Jim Stein.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
Spug.
This is kind of kinky, and I like that.
Mace.
See, I just can't stand.
Kenny Omega.
We need the power!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This is the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network, the Omega, back from a one-week self-imposed hiatus to protect everybody from the epic rage that I was experiencing. But that's in the past. I'm back. And with me tonight, we have Spug.
Mm-hmm.
We have Mace.
Mm-hmm.
Tell it's going to be great discussion tonight. And, as always, Mr. Tim Stein.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, screw all of you. I'll host the goddamn thing myself.
Hey, I didn't want to feel left out, and congratulations to everybody that needs to be congratulated, by the way.
Congratulated for what?
I don't know. What'd you do that was worthy of congratulations this week?
I have no idea.
Oh. Well, congratulations to OWW Radio for pulling 15 minutes out of Jerry Lawler when he said, "Oh, well, I got five for you."
That's to be quite honest, that's because I'm fucking awesome.
I don't know, Mace, is that the reason you figured that Jerry stuck around that long? It was because the Spug did his damnedest to actually call in on the way home from the SmackDown show?
Pretty much. Him talking baseball with Lawler saved us from getting hung up on. Because, frankly, the choice that Lawler did, which was be on an internet wrestling show for an interview or go fuck a cute 21-year-old.
The moment
I'd probably go.
The moment Lawler heard that we were not terrestrial radio.
Yeah.
And Alan started introducing Lawler and we were on the air, I could hear Lawler's fingers get closer to the hang up button. So I had to insult Alan very quickly and steer the interview in a different direction to keep him from hanging up. quite frankly, the reason we got out of him what we did was because of that. And I'm not downgrading or denigrating or whatever, the insulting Allen at all.
Mm-hmm.
Allen even said it himself.
Well, he did.
That would be Allen Baby Wojcik.
Yes, Allen Baby Wojcik.
Yeah, we'll explain that in a minute. But, yeah, so I guess congratulations are actually seriously in order and not in a facetious tone. So, congratulations.
It was fun. I will say this, though. When they tell you don't meet your heroes, sometimes they're wrong, but that time they were right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to watch Raw now with a jaded view, knowing that that dude is a douchebag. Realizing that he in real life is what Michael Cole plays on TV.
Well, now that's just your view of things because of what happened with an interview that you were helping to conduct.
I went out Thursday and trolled around the internet because, you know, the internet is a bastion of honesty.
Oh, yeah.
To find as many kind of reviews from individuals who maybe interviewed Lawler, you know, on print or in radio. Yeah. And a lot of them were in the same vein. He's arrogant. He comes across as an asshole, you know. Pretty much par with our experience, so.
Well, you know, Tony does have a point in the chat room there. His mother did die like a week and a half before you had him. What do you think the chances are that that might have affected him a bit?
Yeah, but some of these reviews were from like a year ago. His mother wasn't dead a year ago or 2 years ago.
No, but maybe.
Could he have been an asshole because his mom died? A little bit. I would say that would be more par for the course if it were a few days.
Because I'll tell you, back in 2005 when we won Media Interview of the Year with Russell Talk Radio's interview with Jerry Lawler, he was nothing but class and nice. He was very polite. He answered all the questions that we put forth to him. Gave us 25 minutes, said right on the air, I'm really sorry, guys, but I do have to run. He was, he was a nice guy. He didn't come across as anybody who thought that the questions we asked were totally stupid and completely out there.
Oh, yeah, he had no problems with the questions. It was just the fact that he was, he put that he was coming out from dinner with his girlfriend, and he was more distracted by his girlfriend than actually paying attention to the call.
Right. I mean, I asked him. I gave him a softball question, and I think even Mace would recognize it as a softball question, because I think he said something after the interview. But it was something to the point of, do you think heels like Michael Cole and Vicky Guerrero, never having spent time in the ring, push it a bit too far with some of the things they say, trying to get the proper kind of heat?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I don't really get what you're going at there. I don't really think, I really don't know what you mean by proper heat. And I'm sitting there thinking in the back of my head, yes, you do.
Yeah,
you
but know, at the same time, you have to remember, he's still working for WWE, and he's still under corporate guidelines to keep the, to keep the storylines going away from the TV shows.
Yeah, but we didn't do anything to violate those.
No, but again, asking that question is, what do you think? Do you think that's X-Pac heat? You know, okay, I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially the question you asked him. And being the professional working in the business that he is for the company that he does, he's not going to say, yeah, they're getting the wrong kind of shit going down. Not the kind of crap on that you want a bad guy to get. So, it's a throwback to, like Tony said in the chat, keeping the kayfabe just a little bit in this day and age. I have to tell you, personally, I find it a little bit of a breath of fresh air when somebody actually goes to that length to protect the business, even though it's more exposed than Lita on a Friday night. Sorry, Omega, I had to.
Yeah, but don't sit there and pander to me like I'm an idiot. you know, I don't know what you mean by proper kind of heat. Just say I really can't answer that question in the way I'd like to. And move on!
Well,
that's all he had to do, dude! Don't tell me that that's not a proper answer if you're trying to keep storylines!
Well, still, you can't expect somebody who's, at least, you know, attempting to work the kayfabe to say, that's not a question I can answer. Because that sort of does, partially violate the old school rules, as it were.
Either way, how about we do this? Let's move on.
That's a great idea. But anyway, So, congratulations on, getting the interview out of Jerry the King Lawler that you got. Everybody, if you haven't heard it, it is available in the archives on Wild Talk Radio. Just go to the archives page and catch it. But, speaking of
Road Warrior Animal this Tuesday, that's going to be fun.
That's this Tuesday, yeah. He's a good interview, too. Anyway, I digress. Speaking of WWE, tomorrow night, John Cena promises to deliver the final knockout to The Rock. Now, before we get into this, is John Cena correct, everybody, in saying that he shows love for the WWE universe by always showing up and being there, whereas it's only lip service as far as Dwayne Johnson goes? Start with you, Spud.
I'll say yes, because with, you know, do you remember the whole you're fired angle with Cena, you know, a few months back with Nexus and all that.
Well, with my short-term memory, no, I can't remember the show that happened 3 weeks ago. Yeah, subtle dig. Keep going.
WWE-trained memory at its best.
There you go.
But, he did house show dates as what, Juan Cena?
Yeah.
John's Mexican cousin?
Complete with luchador mask.
Complete with luchador mask. Yeah. And...
He showed up. Yeah. He went so far on WWE.com as to when John was rehired, WWE actually posted that they had parted company and wished Juan Cena the best in his future endeavors.
They future endeavored Juan Cena. Yeah. He does. He made sure, even though it was as hokey as, what was it, Mr. America that Hogan did back in the day? I mean, it was as hokey as that. Everybody knew who it was. But still, he went to all the house show dates. He was at the Raws. He sat ringside. I mean, if that's not showing love for a fan base that pays your salary and puts your production trucks on the road, I don't know what is.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, you have to take a look at it this way. John Cena, legitimately, still under contract to work scheduled WWE dates, whereas The Rock let his contract run out, didn't renew, because he had a shot at Hollywood.
The question is, is Cena right by saying he shows love? He could have gone to Vince and said, with this angle, I don't think it's right that I go to these house show dates.
Yeah. Well,
and they probably could have moved the contract around so that he would still perform the dates, but after the angle was over. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but in the same vein, it's still, you're reading about, you know, the house shows. It's still a humorous thing. But look at the other side of the coin before we ask Mesa and Omega here and get their opinions. Look at the other side of the coin. Is Rock just paying lip service, or does Rock actually have this love for the WWE universe that he professes to have?
I think The Rock may love the wrestling fans to a point.
Yeah.
But I think that nowadays he doesn't see them as a means to an end like he did back in the day. Now they're just a paycheck.
Okay. Mace, it's your turn to delve into this and give us your take on the whole thing, and I'm looking forward to what you have to say, because I did read both of your columns, by the way.
Yeah, there's not much to build on. If you haven't read my columns, please go and do so. To be honest, I've been saying since day one, The Rock is only playing lip service, as Spug mentioned, to the fans. He doesn't believe in what he's saying, and, you know, I've found it downright disrespectful that he can't even show up live to defend himself against John Cena. And for the first time in quite a while, I'm actually on Cena's side with all this. John Cena actually goes out there, works his ass off, and he does, not only does he do the house shows and the Raws and, you know, he's also out there every week on his downtime doing media and doing the promotions and everything else. The guy has given 110% to the company, and even though he has had the chance to go out and make movies, he hasn't turned around and gone, "Ooh, I like Hollywood, I'm going to go and stay there," like The Rock did.
Okay, but he was under contract. Again, once to reiterate, Cena's contract was still in place, whereas The Rock, he did his movies and still wrestled until his contract ran out.
I understand you're trying to play devil's advocate, but try and keep it in line with the question. The question was, and I will repeat, is Cena right in saying he shows love for the WWE Universe where Rock says it? That was the question. Contract issues aside.
Yeah, okay. No, not contract issues not aside. It plays a part in whether or not, okay, I'm Vince McMahon, you're John Cena. John, you gotta go do those house dates because you're under contract. And I'm Vince McMahon, you're Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Dwayne, you're not under contract, so you're not working for us. Do you want to do some house show dates, or do you gotta go film a movie? You gotta go film a movie? Okay. Back to you, Mace. Is Rock only paying lip service in your opinion? Or, you don't even call him The Rock because you think your point of view is it's Dwayne Johnson playing the role. Is Dwayne Johnson, just paying lip service, or does he mean it when he say that he loves the WWE Universe?
It's lip service, plain and simple, and I've said it since day one. He just wants to come in, make his paycheck, make up for the horrible amount of money that he keeps losing out on these movies that go nowhere. And, you know, as soon as, Fast Five is his next one coming up, as soon as that rolls around, I'm done with wrestling. I don't need wrestling anymore to feel like I'm doing something with my life. Hollywood is my life once again.
Okay, Omega, it's your turn to give us your take.
Let's see here. Okay, in context of the question, honestly, Cena is dead on this one. Mm-hmm. I mean, because, let's face it, it's not just about, Rock's contract is up, he's going to go do movies. He could come back anytime he wanted. You know, there's plenty of time, okay, filming schedules in Hollywood, he films for maybe a month. And that's it. Especially if he's not the star of a movie. And he can come back and do that anytime, be with his fans, be in the WWE, doesn't even have to wrestle. He could come anytime he wanted to. And he didn't. He stayed in Hollywood, between movies, he sat on his ass and did nothing. You know, and the one point that you don't bring up, Cena, for as much as he does for the company, for as much as he obviously loves what he does and as much of a company man as he is, he still catches heat and he catches hell from half of the crowd every night.
Okay.
And you got to love what you're doing. You have to absolutely love it to go in there and take as much hatred as you do love and still love it as much as you do.
Okay, well, we've got a special caller calling in, and you guys, you know this voice. He does live webcast during pay-per-views, and also on Monday nights with Wrestling News Live, 30 minutes after Raw goes off the air. We're talking about the one, the only, JJ, all caps, Sexy. Hey, JJ, how you doing, brother?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Really good for a Sunday night, you know. I hear rumors that you want in on this discussion.
Absolutely. I would love to chime in on this discussion if you're okay with that.
Well, no, I'm not okay with it because you didn't pay the $4.99, but go ahead.
Oh, damn. Sorry. You're going to ding me now. Okay.
Yeah, no look, cheap shots. First 15 minutes free. Go ahead.
Oh, well, damn. Aren't we already out of time then? We're like 30 minutes in, aren't we?
Oh, we started late. All right, go ahead.
No, I just want to chime in the conversation real quick. As far as this whole John Cena, The Rock thing going, you know, right now, I want to know where they're going with this, for one. But in the context of your questions, you know, John Cena can sit there and talk all he wants about the fact that, you know, he shows love to the WWE Universe. You did mention, yes, he is, in fact, under contract. He's not going anywhere for a while. I mean, let's look at this from a completely different standpoint. Dwayne The Rock Johnson actually goes out and makes movies for Disney, makes movies for big major companies where he's getting paid $5 million or more a picture, okay? He's no longer under any kind of contract to Vince McMahon. He quietly retired away from wrestling, yet every time they have gone to him and asked him to come in, if he's been able to do so, he has done it. His family has deep roots in this business. Most of his family are still in this business today. So for John Cena to come out and say, hey, I show the love to the people and you don't, I think is complete bullshit. When John Cena goes out and does a movie that's not for WWE Films or Vince McMahon and starts making $5 million a picture and starts having his time taken away from professional wrestling, then he can open his mouth and talk about this shit. But until then, he doesn't have a leg to stand on. It's all lip service from John Cena.
This is a guy who on Super Bowl weekend flew back and forth from Dallas to Philly to do house shows.
Well, let me just
stuff, and do Super Bowl stuff. All right, I'll give you that The Rock makes motion pictures for Disney. But let's not forget, this is the guy that made, again, for Disney, the Tooth Fairy and the ill-fated Doom. All right, it's not like The Rock is going out there and making blockbusters like Apocalypse Now.
Okay. Spug, just to clear up, Rock, the Tooth Fairy profited, and that's all markets care about. In total, his movies have probably banked over $900 million.
I'm not saying they weren't profitable. I'm just saying they were shitty movies. There's a difference.
Now, let me just play that devil's advocate again that you accused me of doing, okay? I brought up the contract that John Cena happens to be under, which caused him to fly back and forth on Super Bowl weekend. Now, for shits and giggles, let's say that The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, was under contract to WWE, and he, you know, was the franchise, just like Cena is, as we know him to be right now. You're gonna tell me The Rock would not have done the same thing if he was under contract?
Your contract argument falls flat there, because if you remember, WWE.com put up a big thing on Super Bowl weekend on their website stating that, sorry, but we must apologize that John Cena will not be at the scheduled date this weekend because of a scheduling conflict with media events that he must be at for his endorsements at the Super Bowl.
Okay, well, Mace, go for it. You got a very important point to bring up.
Well, you're going on about, you know, The Rock being on the contract and all that. So basically, we're going back to the time of The Mummy Returns and The Scorpion King, where he disappeared from 3 to 6 months and then came back again.
Yeah.
That's all I'm really saying. So pretty much, the comparisons where John Cena and The Rock once again meet in the center. Both guys have had to take time off to do movies. So, I don't know how much the contract thing's going to play into it, considering both men have done the same thing.
Yeah, well, you know, it's really a difficult thing to say. Dwayne Johnson, he's under contract. Vince wants him to fly back and forth and do both of these things. And wrestle at in-house shows as The Rock's Mexican Samoan cousin.
Again, though, this is I think you're getting this twisted in the back of your head, because the Super Bowl, we'll just take this example, the Super Bowl weekend in which John Cena flew back and forth from Dallas to Philly and then back to Dallas to do a house show and then media events at the Super Bowl. He was already off the hook and in the clear for that. He didn't have to show up in Philly. He was already excused from those events, and he did it anyway because he was on the card and did it for the fans.
Okay, well, here's the part of the argument we can't really get into and side one way or the other because it's not really answerable. Who's to say The Rock would not have done the same thing again had he been under contract?
Because
and working for the WWE at the time, like Cena was.
Again, this is where you can put the contract thing aside with the, with that Super Bowl thing. But with The Rock had opportunity multiple times to come back, and he was interviewed multiple times in that in the past 3 to 4 years where he has really been off of the WWE radar. The most recent time that he showed up being the Hall of Fame induction of his grandfather. Or was it his dad? I can't remember who got in.
It was both.
Was it both?
I thought they both
got in the same night. And he went on his diatribe on stage. And somebody, I believe it was from The Sun, got a hold of him afterward and interviewed him and asked him, you know, there have been rumors about WWE coming to you and wanting you to do one more match and they were going to put you in the Hall of Fame and yada yada. And he said point blank, wrestling is behind me now. I thank the fans for their contribution, but it's really not my life. I'm about making movies. To paraphrase.
Yeah, no, that's perfectly understandable. And as a matter of fact, just like literally 2 weeks before he showed up in Raw, announced as the host for WrestleMania, he reiterated something very similar, where he said, wrestling's been great, I've moved on, I will never appear for WWE again, I don't need to, I've moved on, yada yada. Again, it's a paraphrase, but it's essentially the same thing. Next thing you know, boom, there he is. Omega, you got a take?
I've pretty much spoken my piece here. I'm just enjoying the banter at this point.
Okay.
Just real quick to go back to what you said, Tim, about, to paraphrase The Rock, that I'm never going to appear in the WWE again. I don't need to. That's where my point of this argument lies, all right? Between the words showing love for the fan base and saying you love the fan base, okay?
Okay.
Showing you love the fan base, regardless of contract or not, is John Cena flying from Dallas to Philly back to Dallas, even though he didn't have to and was already off the hook for that show. Okay? Doing the Juan Cena gimmick during the Nexus angle so he didn't miss house show events. That is showing love for your fan base, whether they hate you or not. Saying you love your fan base is The Rock after the WWE Hall of Fame induction of his father and grandfather, and to a couple weeks before Raw, saying, I'll never appear in a WWE ring again. I don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
That's saying. There's a difference. That's my whole beef.
Okay. Well, our caller's still on the line, and I know he's got at least one or two more things to say about this topic. JJ?
Well, you know, I just want to say this. I mean, you know, Spug, you're right in the fact that, you know, he is working the house shows regardless of the fact he's fired. I'm talking about John Cena, of course, when he was going out and doing the Juan Cena gimmick. But, I mean, let's be honest. He and Vince McMahon are so tight. I mean, he is, I guess, one of Vince McMahon's best friends in the business right now. And for them to even have this angle where he's fired and come back as Juan Cena to please the fans, pretty much he's just fulfilling his contract. I mean, I'm not going to say the guy doesn't love his fans. I'm sure that he does. But my point is he is still under contract. And, yes, Rock has come out and said he's done with professional wrestling. He's accomplished all his goals, and he has. He's won every major championship in that company and done everything there is to do. So the fact that he was getting multi-million dollar roles in movies, whether they stink or not, and I agree, Doom was horrible. I went to a screening of that days before it actually came out for free and walked out of the theater and I thought, oh my God, another movie like this and he's going back to wrestling. You know, The Tooth Fairy wasn't a great movie, but it did gross a lot of money for Disney. Let's compare 2009 when John Cena had 12 rounds the same weekend that Escape or Run to Witch Mountain or whatever the hell that movie was with The Rock came out. They completely killed John Cena's movie. So, I mean, it's apples and oranges at this point. You cannot compare what these two guys have done because, again, he's gone outside the umbrella of the WWE to do all this stuff. John Cena tells his fans, I'm not going to be like The Rock. I'm going to come back. I'm not going to leave. Well, when John Cena gets a major contract with a major company and makes that kind of money to not take bumps 300 days a year and sticks to his guns, then he'll have my respect.
The thing that I guess kind of irks me in the whole argument is that, yeah, The Rock wasn't under contract when he went out to the major movie companies. Also, quite frankly, The Rock got his start in The Scorpion King and The Mummy Returns. I mean, a part of a franchise that is, what, four or five movies deep now? I think they're four. Well,
that's three.
They had Mummy 1, 2, 3?
1, 2, 3 plus a cartoon series.
Right. I mean, it's a fairly successful franchise. Then he went into Be Cool with John Travolta. And he, from there sprouted off on his own. You know, the majority of the movies that he's been in have been typecast roles. He's the broody, athletic badass. Aside from Walking Tall.
And Gridiron Gang,
which Gridiron Gang was an awesome movie. It really was. But for the most part, he's been typecast. And that goes back to the wrestling days.
Well, he's...
And
yeah,
the same with John Cena. John Cena's been typecast as the gritty, brooding, athletic badass.
Yeah, okay, he's been typecast, but he's been typecast as an action star. I don't think it's because he was a professional wrestler moving over to Hollywood. I think it's because, his build and his physique, which he had when he was a professional football player before he got into professional wrestling. And, he was on the practice roster for the Calgary Stampeders here at one point in time, too, the year before the Stampeders.
The Rock wasn't that great of a football player.
No, he wasn't. He didn't make the regular roster for the for a Canadian football team. So that should tell you how good he was. Let's put it this way.
In an era where you could get away with anything at the University of Miami, The Rock wasn't a starter till his senior year?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking like the badass Miami years.
Yep.
That's the kind of talent The Rock wasn't a great football player. I mean, The Rock got the majority. I'm going to shift this real quick. If The Rock is Santino Marella, and I'm not talking body, I mean, if The Rock has his physique, his look, you know, and the ability to speak like he does, but is in the status of the company of Santino Marella. You know, essentially mid-card, jobber, you know, comedy guy. Does he get the spots in Disney and Hollywood that he gets now?
Well, you know, that's a question that's difficult to answer because if he was doing the comedy spots, would he have gotten that cameo role in The Mummy Returns? Yes or no, it's a coin flip. Really.
I'm just saying that The Rock, for all of this talk of loving the fan base,
yeah,
and he certainly is grateful to the fan base.
Yeah.
But to be quite honest, without wrestling, without Vince McMahon, without the Maivia family, The Rock is nothing.
Well, I'm not.
He could have finished his football at Miami and gone on to Calgary and whatever, and essentially got on a practice squad for an NFL team at some point. And been nothing. But without the umbrella of the WWE allowing him to flourish like he did, he's not doing live appearances from his trophy room.
Well, yeah, but you know, on the other side of that same token, the door may have been open to him because of the family name. It was up to him to walk through it. He wasn't pushed.
And he did.
And he took his opportunity and he ran with it. And I tell you, I am not one of those people who chanted, "You sold out, you sold out," because I don't believe that. And why can you not love the WWE universe and still pursue your dreams and your goals, which happens to be something different than wrestling? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, JJ. Just wanted to finish the point. Go ahead.
No, that's fine, Tim. I'm glad you did. You know, that's like when people from ECW would sign major contracts with either WCW or the WWF. It was "you sold out." So a guy sold out because he went to a company where he's going to get national exposure. He's going to make a better living for his family, and he sold out because he's not going to be performing in front of a bingo hall in front of 50 people. Fuck that. That's a ridiculous argument.
Well, I cheered when Taz signed with WWE because his first opponent was Angle. You know, and that was, the rumor had it that one of Taz's students at the old dojo was Angle. You know, and those two have a legitimate friendship. They're legit friends out of the business. And, you know, I was really happy when Taz made it to WWE. I'm not one of the individuals that sat there and chanted, "You sold out." And I love The Rock. You know, he's probably one of the best talkers in the business. Back in the day, I think he'd have given Ric Flair a run for his money. And the issue at hand is showing love or, you know, versus saying that you love them, which is a tricky proposition in itself. Has The Rock shown that he loves the fan base? Absolutely. Absolutely he has. Does he do it now? Probably not. He doesn't need to, and I will agree with that. But
let me interrupt and ask you along the same vein, is he not showing love right now by actually coming back, even if it is only just to host WrestleMania?
But Amen. It's not just to host WrestleMania. You know there's going to be one match in it. With all this heat between him and all this vitriol between him and Cena right now, Cena, Vince, and The Rock would be fools, absolute fools, on the level of TNA doing the 3-3-11 and giving Sting the title and letting it get out on the internet on spoilers. Fools for not cashing in on it.
You're right. You're absolutely right. But I don't think that they're going to have a match. I really think that what they're going for right now, and this bothers me, why bring him back and why have this back and forth with John Cena if you're not going to capitalize on it? The guy that's left out is your WWE champion, The Miz. He's kind of left out in this whole thing because The Rock's not verbally talking with him. He's not responding to any jabs that The Miz throws at him. This is supposed to be about John Cena and The Miz, but yet it's turned into John Cena and The Rock. And by all indications, I really would like to see a match between the two, yes, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think that they're playing this up as much as they can get, and I don't think it's going to culminate into anything.
Okay.
I don't want to believe
that.
Go ahead, Omega.
Everyone tries to talk at once. That's kind of company-wide right now, because look what you're doing on SmackDown right now. You've got the exact same thing happening. It's supposed to be Edge and Alberto Del Rio, but Del Rio's feud with Christian is just as hot right now.
Yeah. Well, here, let me throw this question out here. And, right now, I've taken a look at WrestleMania 27, and to me, it's looking a little lackluster. It feels like they're building up to one of the regular pay-per-views, not the Showcase of the Immortals. And I would like to hear Mace's answer on this one. What are the chances we just might see a three-way for the WWE Championship, with The Miz maybe even as early as tomorrow night interrupting John Cena's quote-unquote knockout and saying, whoa, 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 really? Really? I'm the WWE Champion and it's about you two guys? Really? And all of a sudden, it's a three-way dance, sort of a way for The Rock to pass, you know, to hand off the torch maybe to The Miz. The Miz winds up retaining the title. And something similar with SmackDown, with Christian getting involved in the main event, which would wind up leading to an Edge and Christian reunion. Mace.
If you put The Rock in the WWE title match, you're practically burying The Miz. Straight up.
You can't do that without elevating The Miz?
No.
Well, keep in mind.
Sorry, Omega, just let me finish this.
Go ahead.
If you have The Miz win the match, you then bury John Cena.
Okay.
You have John Cena win, you're burying The Miz. The Rock wins, you're burying both.
Okay. Omega, go ahead.
Whereas a one-on-one match between Cena and Miz, Miz wins, he gets elevated. Sorry, Omega. Don't yell at me.
Don't worry, you're fine. No, you can't do that because we just had this thing where the whole point of Miz and Lawler was to build up Miz as a credible champion and give him a few solid wins under his belt before Mania. And they did exactly that. It was a very credible match and Miz, for the most part, won the match on his own, at least when, you know, after Riley got it ejected. But the whole point of that was to build him up and to give him some credibility going in. If Rock can suddenly just walk in and join the title match after 7 years of nothing, then you've completely diminished everything that you built up with The Miz. And no matter how you go, you know, that is a way of acknowledging, you know what, Miz, nice try. We're going to put this on Cena and The Rock to sell the pay-per-view.
Okay.
Which completely undercuts everything you've built up with the guy who's supposed to be your next big heel.
Okay.
The thing, if you put The Rock automatically in the title match, you fall into the TNA line of booking, which I think Vince is honestly too smart for that. Two, you not only bury The Miz, and I will agree 100% with Mace and Omega on that, but you also bury John Cena. Because if you have The Miz go over on The Rock, then the last 7 to 10 years of work that you have done with John Cena, from building him up from Thuganomics to Hulk Hogan-like Superman and shoving him down our throats at every chance you get, you wipe all of that away because in the mind of the smart and casual average fan, why am I cheering for John Cena if he can't beat The Rock, but The Miz automatically, you know, comes in and just beats him? And especially if he does it cleanly, it makes it worse. I think what they're going to end up doing is this. It's going to be the special enforcer, much like they did with Tyson at WrestleMania, was it 14? With Shawn and Stone Cold. You're going to have The Rock is probably somehow going to end up being a special guest referee or something in that title match, and he's going to cost John Cena the match. And they're going to use it to sell some antiquated pay-per-view, you know, before SummerSlam, instead of saving it for SummerSlam.
Quite interesting. What's your take on it, Jr.?
That's a pretty interesting point. In a perfect world, to really make this WrestleMania stand out, if I were, you know, I guess behind the book, you know, fantasy booking, if you will, I would absolutely try to figure out some way to take John Cena out of the title picture here. You know, again, we're talking about a guy that has main evented and been in the title match every WrestleMania since 2005. This is his seventh year in the main event match where it will be the title match, whether it's the World Championship or the WWE Championship. So we, for the last 7 years. Yeah, it's been 7 years. If you want to go back 8 years, he was in the, US title hunt with, yeah, so for the last 8 years, he's had a title match on every WrestleMania. And I really think that it's time you take John Cena out of that title picture, and you've got a guy in The Miz who was completely buried by John Cena about a year and a half ago. You take him out of this match, you build this thing up between The Rock and John Cena to where he says, you know what, this isn't about the title. The title's important, but this is more important than the title. And then you have maybe a guy like John Morrison, who's been chasing after this title, who's improved vastly in the last 8 months, who could go up against The Miz. I'm not saying he has to beat The Miz at WrestleMania. You know, he could get screw-jobbed out of the title by The Miz, and Morrison could chase after The Miz. But this would be another credible thing for The Miz to do, and it would be a great tie-in to Tough Enough, which debuts the night after WrestleMania. So, I don't know. Here's to thinking. Maybe you'd do that. But, I mean, if I were booking it, that's exactly what I would do. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this. All right. It is March 6th, okay? We are one, two, three Sundays away from WrestleMania on April 3rd.
Correct.
You have three Raws, or four. Three or four? I think three. Four, because it's 7th tomorrow. You have four Monday Night Raws before WrestleMania. What if they do this? All right, in fantasy booking world, I'll throw this out there. Cena comes out there tomorrow night for his knockout punch. All right, Rock has already said he's not going to be there in Dallas because he's still shooting whatever movie he's currently shooting right now. Rock makes a surprise appearance. All right, tomorrow night shows up unannounced. You have the two of them finally stare down face-to-face in the ring. And Miz comes out and says, you know, to go from earlier, you know, wait, this is about me and him, not about you two. This can wait. We have a three-way on the next Raw or a title match or something. Some way you transition it into a title match on Raw. Where if Cena loses, he doesn't get to go to WrestleMania. You have The Rock screw him out of that title, as JJ was saying. And you could put a number of people in to face Miz at Mania. Sheamus, Morrison. You could, unfortunately, it looks like it's going to be Punk and Orton in a match. You could have put either one of those two in there. You know, there's a number of credible people that you can build that feud with in a short 3 week. Then, you know, before Mania, some Raw, you have Cena come out and say, guess what? It's you and me now. You wanted it, you got it. Now you have your big, you know, seller match that everybody wants to see at Mania.
Okay.
Also, something like that could definitely possibly work. But one name that both of you guys mentioned, and I'm sure Mace will back me up on this one. I don't know about Omega. But if either one of those scenarios goes down, I am all for elevating Morrison. Now, those of you who listen to us on Sunday nights know for a fact that I have been a very vocal supporter of doing just that since before Christmas. I think Morrison is ready, and this would be a great way of slipping him in under the radar. What do you think about that, Mace?
It'd be a good way to put Morrison into the picture, but another name we're forgetting here is one man that is going to be on hand tomorrow night, Stone Cold Steve Austin. What if he comes out to defend The Rock?
At that point, you've lost all focus of what this angle is. All focus. I think when you start adding more and more stars into it, to me, to be quite honest, Stone Cold Steve Austin is not the type of individual who is going to come out and essentially, you know, give the buddy hug to The Rock and move on. You know what I mean?
He'll give Rock and Cena the buddy finger.
Right. I mean, I understand where you're going with it, Maze. I don't think that, personally, I don't think that'll happen.
Omega, your thoughts? Do you have any?
You know, there's a little part of me that would kind of enjoy that. Just because as long as we've got both of them there for a limited time, I wouldn't mind seeing The Rock and Stone Cold in the same ring at the same time. Even if, you know, it doesn't even have to be a wrestling match. There's just a little fanboy in me that wants to see it again. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I am with you in that I would much rather see something fresh as far as WrestleMania goes, which is why I'm glad we've got The Miz holding the belt right now. But yeah. I am a bigger fan of pushing Morrison. I have been for a long time now. And the problem is that it would have to have been booked, you know, at Elimination Chamber. You know, it would have had to have gone back. There's no patch-up job at this point because it is Mania. Like, you said it yourself that right now the card feels lackluster. How much more diminished is it when you're changing up main events, you know, only a few weeks away from the show and you're only given 3 weeks of build-up time?
Is it the first time they've done it, though?
Oh, absolutely. It's not the first time they've done it, but I've never agreed with it any time that they have.
Just keep in mind a couple things. It's not the first time they've done it, yes. But you've got all these tie-ins that are coming around WrestleMania. Like I mentioned, Tough Enough. You've got the new THQ game, WWE All-Stars that's coming
All-Stars.
Out on the 29th. And what has been the big thing that they have, ever since we heard about this game last year, WWE All-Stars, the first screenshots that they showed John Cena and The Rock. And the whole tagline for this game is the greatest matchups haven't happened yet.
Oh yeah, the whole advertising campaign or all the fantasy match that are possible, the old versus the new.
Well, to go to this isn't the first time that it's happened. Remember, they did it at a WrestleMania. The night before, to be exact, with Luger and Bret Hart. Remember, Luger was supposed to win that title at WrestleMania. And he shot his mouth off, drunk at a bar. And a news reporter got a hold of it, took it to Vince, and they changed the storyline at WrestleMania. I mean, it's not the first time that shit like this has happened. I think in today's day and age, with the amount of TV time that WWE has now on the NBC network with SmackDown and with Raw, they can build a feud going off of what happened in January and February between Miz and Morrison and ramp it up to the point where it's main event worthy at WrestleMania in a short amount of time.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, let's go back to the match that he had with, let's go back to Miz Morrison on Raw.
Which one?
Well, the one for the title.
The first Raw of the year.
Yeah.
The first Raw of the year between these two. The overall story was that John Morrison had everything under control. I thought he was actually going to beat The Miz. And what was the finish? He does Starship Pain to the outside, lands through a table because Miz gets out of the way, and he capitalized on the fact that Morrison went for a high-risk maneuver and cost himself the title. Ever since then, we've seen Morrison on fire. He's been amped up. He's been very aggressive in the ring. We've seen things from him I've never seen before.
Well, don't forget Spider-Man Whack at the Royal Rumble.
The parkour single greatest moment I've ever seen at the Royal Rumble as far as an elimination. That was fantastic.
I popped. I admit it. I popped for that.
I think we all did.
So. The only thing that would have been better for that moment is when Regal was on the ground. He should have jumped onto Regal and then jumped onto the ring. That would have been awesome.
I don't think Regal was like on his knees though at that point.
Yeah, probably not.
Regal should have gotten up and swiped Morrison's legs out from under him and then laughed. Or is that just too cruel?
Something Regal would have done. But continue, JJ, please.
But no, I mean, you go back to that, and the storyline, of course, obvious. You know, he cost himself the match by doing the high risk stuff. But ever since then, again, he's really amped it up, and I think that this is going to be a banner year for him. Whether he has a title match at WrestleMania, whether he wins at WrestleMania, he doesn't even have to. He can be a guy. I think Morrison is a guy that's you know, better suited chasing a title. Will he get a run? Absolutely. But you know, I think he's a hot babyface. Even Jericho has gone on record to say that. Guys in the WWE right now that he would like to see a push for, he's mentioned Morrison. The only knock on Morrison is he needs to work on his personality. You know, he needs to add more character to his gimmick. But aside from that, his in-ring stuff is fine. I don't see the reason why he's not getting the push that he so rightfully deserves.
Well, that leads back to a different topic for a different time of WWE has forgotten the art of the manager.
Right.
You have individuals like Shelton Benjamin and John Morrison, who are phenomenal in-ring talents. You talk about the parkour thing with John Morrison. I go back to the leaping clothesline into the super kick.
Yes.
That Benjamin did and, you know, received from Shawn Michaels on a Monday Night Raw. You know, I mean, Shelton Benjamin is a phenomenal talent. Couldn't talk on a microphone to save his life. You know? And you know, that was the thing against Mr. Perfect. I got the Perfect DVD for Valentine's Day and was watching it. And the guy who does all of the vignettes, is it Tom Pritchard? I can't remember who it is. But he does all the vignettes and all the little scenes for WWE. He talked about how Mr. Perfect was this phenomenal athlete in everything. Except when they turned the cameras on. They actually got to a point where they, from the moment Perfect showed up to the moment he left, the cameras would be rolling 100% of the time and they would never tell him. Ever. Because he couldn't do it without it. You know, if he knew the cameras were on, he couldn't do things. And I think with guys like Morrison and Benjamin and the like, you have to go back to that art of the manager, because if they can't talk, you need somebody to talk for them.
Agreed.
Yeah, that's kind of hard to disagree with something like that. But we're long overdue for taking our first break of the night. Everybody else from WTR Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. JJ, plug your stuff, man.
Tomorrow night, Wrestling News Live, 11:30 Eastern. Over at the SNS Radio Network, located at www.sundaynightshowdown.com. One final thing before I leave out of here, Tim. Just my final argument on the whole Rock Cena thing. As I mentioned before, when it comes to John Cena and The Rock, when he comes out and says that, you know, he shows love every week by being there, again, under contract, and until he actually goes away for a little while and makes movies, not for the WWE, it's kind of hard for me to take those words as anything but lip service from a guy who's never really stepped out of the company and broke out and done anything else. But that's just my take on it.
There you go. Everybody, we got a lot more coming your way before we're done tonight. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this. Like a part of the jail, slaughtering stale competition. I got the whole block wishing they could run with my division, but they gone fishing with no bait. Kid your boy whole weight. I got my soul straight. I brush your mouth like Colgate. In any weather, I'm never better. Your boy's so hot, you never catch me in the next man's sweater. If they hate, let them hate. I drop your whole clan. Lay your ass down for the 3 seconds. I hear voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me. Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present, such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
There are plenty of wrestling radio shows that consider themselves to be award-winning, yet they are full of flaws. While Wrestle Talk Radio continues to bring you the best wrestling talk on the internet today, with no production flaws. Tune in Sunday nights for Wrestle Talk Radio, the best value in wrestling radio. We're just saying.
OWW Radio.
She had me going crazy.
Alan Wojcik.
She woke me up daily.
OWW Radio.
Wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Eric Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Brett Derry. Candice
LaSalle. Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Hello, everyone. This is Matt Hardy, the owner and creator of www.thehardyshow.com. Make sure to check us out. And right now, you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah, here comes the pain. Welcome back.
No.
The
pain's gone. Justin Bieber left.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was just a little bit of a fun thing to do at Alan Wojcik's expense, and I thought that was funny. Didn't you? I mean, after you got over your initial trauma?
You have to get it right. It's not Alan Wojcik anymore. It's Alan Baby Wojcik.
Oh, yeah, Alan Baby Wojcik. Actually, wouldn't it be Alan Baby Wojcik?
No, just Baby.
Well, I thought there should be at least three. But anyway,
two.
Hey, I digest. Back to what we were talking about. Welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Quick shout-out to the Midnight Man and his wife, Patty, tuned in, listening to the stream embedded on Facebook, thanks to the producer, Rock. Nice job, Rock. Waiting for Rock to pat himself on the back.
My God, Rock got credit on this show.
Yeah, well, you know, what can you do? When he's the one who does the embedding, then he's the one who gets credit. Omega.
Is it his birthday already?
Not yet, but now I won't have to worry about forgetting his present, will I? There you go. Okay, time to debate, guys. I hope you're ready. What would have been the bigger draw for this year's WrestleMania? A Lesnar-Taker match or The Rock's return after 7 years? Mace.
Well, as much as I hate to say it, it's The Rock's return after 7 years because, well, who really cares about Brock Lesnar except himself?
Well, his wife.
I don't even think she cares anymore. As long as he's bringing in the money.
Yeah, wait till the credit cards start expiring.
Oh, no shot against Deborah or anything like that. But go ahead, Omega. Why don't you just continue your thoughts about this?
Okay, yeah. Easily it is The Rock. I mean, you just listen to the... His return. I mean, yeah, I said it on the show before. Nobody in the WWE has gotten that kind of reaction in the last 7 years. And that includes Brock Lesnar. I mean, in the end, you know, Brock... He was there, he was going to be the next big thing, but guess what? He never was the next big thing. In the end, he's a flash in the pan. He's a guy, because of his own ego, because he wanted to go play football like a big boy, he lost out on the biggest opportunity in WWE history. And he never made it to the level he was supposed to. You know, he could have been as big as The Rock, but no, gave that up.
Yeah, well, is Lesnar an only child?
I have no clue.
Because he sure acts like he doesn't have any brothers or sisters, I'll tell you. Spug, what about you?
Again, I think it's The Rock, because Brock's still fresh in the public consciousness.
Yeah.
As far as the demographic WWE is striving for with MMA. I mean, it may seem like that long ago, but in the world of MMA, he didn't lose his title all that long ago, considering that it hasn't been defended since by Cain Velasquez. Yes, I know Cain Velasquez is hurt, but still, I mean, it hasn't been defended. And it also hasn't been given an interim tag and put on somebody to be defended.
Yeah.
So, The bigger draw definitely is The Rock at the current moment.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I can't disagree with that. But Tony O in the chat room, guys, and here's something for you to discuss, says that Brock's better off doing what he did than what he could have done with the WWE. Do you agree with that, Spud?
Yes and no. I think he's better off doing what he did as far as the MMA route, but the little known fact in all of this is Mike Tice offered, they went to Brock Lesnar and said, hey, we want you on this football team. You have the desire and the ability to play at the level we need you to play at. But what we want you to do is they wanted him to, I think it was either gain or drop, like 20 pounds, and they wanted him to move into a D end as one of a Dwight Freeney type smaller D end, and play defensive end and be a dominant pass rusher. And Brock Lesnar didn't want to do it, so he upped and quit and left. I mean, he did it at WrestleMania 20. That we got that shit match between him and Goldberg that everybody wanted to see, that, you know, it wasn't the payoff that everybody wanted. And quite frankly, Stone Cold saved it. And he was going to do the same thing in MMA. You know, he lost his title to Cain Velasquez, and in all honesty, he was probably out the door to go back to wrestling if he hadn't got the coach's job on this season of The Ultimate Fighter and a shot against Junior Dos Santos for the number one contender for the heavyweight title.
Doesn't that take place in June?
The fight against Junior Dos Santos?
Yeah.
I think it's May.
Okay, I thought I heard that it was
either May or June. You might be right. It's either May or June, but it's coming up.
Okay. Omega, your take on that. What do you think?
I really don't know what to think of Lesnar anymore. I don't follow him right now because, you know, MMA, just not really my thing. So, you know, if he's doing well, fine. But as far as the point of, you know, he's better doing what he is now, well, we will never know that because Brock Lesnar never gave it a shot. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, he could have pulled a Rock and gone off, okay, and gone, okay, I'm here for now. I'm going to stay under this contract. As soon as it's up, let me go beat other people up for real for a living. you know, and I would have been, you know, could have been fine with that. Would have been fine. We would have actually known what he was capable of doing had he actually been given the ball. But, you know, we don't have the hindsight for that because it never happened.
Okay. Mace, what do you think?
I don't know, I'm probably more along the lines of Spug. You know, it's a great thing, well, at least for Brock, that he went to MMA. He's probably had a chance to be a bit bigger there than he might have been with the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
But, this whole thing just screams, you know, Lesnar being a big crybaby, not getting what he wants, and when he doesn't get what he wants, he runs away like a scared little bitch.
Which is why I wonder if he's an only child, because he acts like one.
He's not an only child. He is not an only child. He has a brother.
Okay.
Probably beat up his brother in the backyard.
Well, you've heard me mention my buddy Eugene, who's real good friends with Mark Henry.
Yeah.
Eugene is also friends with Lesnar's brother. And so, yes, Lesnar does have siblings. Just to kind of expound upon Mace real quick. I'm sorry, Mace. The thing that I think that bothers me the most about Lesnar is that I watched his interview. When he first debuted in the UFC, he did like a 45-minute sit-down interview with Joe Rogan, I think it was. And Joe got to the part about the accusations of steroids in WWE and a couple of other – oh, and the WrestleMania 20 match with Brock Lesnar – or with Lesnar and Goldberg and the accusations of quitting. Oh. And Lesnar ripped the microphone off of his shirt and said, "I'm not going to answer those. We're done here."
Mm-hmm.
And walked away. Anything that is remotely tough for Lesnar, anything that is remotely difficult, it seems like this guy walks away from and goes the easy route. And would much rather go the easier way than have to face a challenge. And, you know, he fought Randy Couture 2 years ago for the heavyweight title at the time. Randy Couture is not a heavyweight champion.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Couture has never had the body or the physique to be a heavyweight champion. He's just not. And he's much older than Lesnar. Anybody who knows Randy Couture or is friends with Randy Couture and maybe listening, don't get me wrong. I love Captain America. He's probably one of my favorite fighters of all time. He doesn't hold a candle to the raw ability of Brock Lesnar. And when you put Lesnar in the ring, in the octagon with Couture, there was only one outcome. It was a cupcake fight for Couture, for Lesnar. He was going to walk out of there with the belt, which at the time is what they wanted. They wanted Lesnar with the belt.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't going to win it from somebody tough like Frank Mir, who beat him.
Yeah. Okay.
So it just, the thing with Lesnar is it bothers me that this guy has all this raw potential. I mean, he is just physically gifted, and we all can look at him and say he's a phenomenal specimen of athletics and strength, correct?
Yeah, okay.
Yet anytime there's something remotely difficult, be it with WWE, football, MMA, he turns and walks away. And it makes you wonder who the hell's talking to this guy telling him to do this shit.
So would you guys figure that it would be safe to say Lesnar is a lazy fucker?
I wouldn't go that far.
Oh. He'd rather have things handed to him, Omega?
I don't think you call him lazy because, okay, you do need some commitment and you do need some hard work to actually, you know, create the physique and actually have the abilities that he has in MMA. I think Mace hit it right on the head when he said he was a pussy.
Okay.
I think that pretty much describes it. I mean, this, you know, the second something doesn't go his way or the second, you know, anyone tells him no,
He basically
he
picks up
his ball
his ball
and goes home.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
Fuck you.
I'm okay, not going to call him lazy or a pussy because I don't want to get my face caved in.
Okay, well, I'll be more than happy to call
okay.
him a bitch.
Here it is. I might have called him a pussy, but when it comes to his effort, to put it another way, he puts in minimal effort. He puts
I
in just enough to buy and then expects the world from it.
Okay, well, is that not the definition of lazy? Put in the minimal effort and expect the most from it?
No,
no lazy is most of the stuff we do here on this show, doing sweet fucking.
No, no, lazy, my friends, is running the ropes. That's lazy.
Oh, stop it.
Lazy is
picking on a dead dog at this point.
All right, moving on. No, we're not going to be doing that because that is we're above that. We're going to move on.
No, we're not.
They're varying degrees of lazy. Lazy is somebody like a guy I work with who can sit there and tell everybody what the hell else to do and then does shit. You know what I mean? Absolute nothing.
Oh, the boss.
No, he's not a boss, though. He's not the boss.
but he's not in charge, yeah, but he's just acting like...
No, he's not the boss. There are varying degrees of lazy. LeBron James is lazy. LeBron James didn't want to put in any of the work to win a title. So he got two of his friends to help him win one in Miami, and it looks like it's not going to happen either.
Well, that's because they're all lazy.
Dwayne Wade, you can't say that about, because Dwayne Wade did win a title in 06.
Yeah, well, he didn't do it himself. Anyway, moving on.
Yes, he did. Shaq wasn't a help.
Yeah, moving on. Next thing up, guys. TNA, the World Championship, going to Sting.
Speaking of
Did
late,
you guys, you know, we played the spoiler last week because it miffed me how freaking lazy TNA Uncreative was on this. They didn't even bother to try to make it look different. They ripped off two WWE segments and combined them into one. You saw this with the spoiler that we showed videoed last week. And then when TNA actually aired on March 3rd, those of you who watched it saw it and saw the production version of what we saw on YouTube. What did you think, Mace?
You know what? And I'm going to suggest this to Omega as well. Dude, we'll be quiet. Let's hand this off to Spug, and we'll come back in about 20 minutes, okay?
I didn't watch it.
Well, you've been itching all week to do this.
It'll be a very silent 20 minutes.
No. This is what bugs me, and I don't want you to feel like I take over the show, and I know I do, and I apologize. I'm trying not to. I'm trying to get better at it. What bugs me is we ripped it apart last week a little bit on this show, but this ties in actually, and I have the production rundown in front of me. TNA's Eric Bischoff responded to a fan post regarding the current number of pay-per-view events. Definitely need to drop the number of pay-per-views, Bischoff wrote. The business isn't hot enough to sustain the current number. Doing them hurts the long-term viability of the category. Worked in the 90s, not just now. Just my personal opinion, it will take balls and vision to change the model. Eric Bischoff, you want balls and vision to change the model? How about you take your fucking program live? Huh? You won't get a 1 point whatever rating you'll get. I didn't watch TNA this week. You know why? Because I read the spoiler on fucking Thursday of last week. I knew what was going to happen well in a week in advance of what on your product. On your television product, where you try to get the casual viewer to view your pay-per-view. WWE buy rates are sustaining 12 pay-per-views a year. You know why? Because half of their television programming is live. The important storylines are done on live programming. Not pre-taped 3 weeks in advance. Balls and vision to change a model. How about you do the simple things, you fucking retard?
Safe to assume the rant is over?
Yes.
All right. Mace, any response to that?
I think Spike had it right the first time. 12 pay-per-views a week for the WWE. Yeah, that sounds about right.
A year.
Fucking feels like it. 12 pay-per-views a week.
It does. I'm sorry.
Well, wait, doesn't WWE do 13 a year?
Is it
something
13?
Like that.
I thought it was like 14 now.
So, 13, 14 a year and 18 television shows. We might
too
as well at least.
Many. How about that? There you
exactly.
go.
Exactly. But, I'm not gonna defend this at all. You know, after the last pay-per-view, I hung up the TNA supporter cap, handed in my resignation. I watched this on television, like, well, Sunday night. Wait, now? What? Time continuum disruption. But, you know, it played off better on TV than it did in the spoiler version we showed last week. But at the same time, I fast forward through the thing because I'm like, I can't be bothered watching this. Same with the two Jeff Jarrett weddings. Did not like at all. But I don't know. I don't think it's so much the spoilers as they're putting on too much crap that I don't want to see.
Yeah.
You know, and when I want wrestling, goddammit. Hashtag.
Yeah. When they do something that pops the ratings, isn't it because they've stolen something that WWE did that gave them good ratings? It sure seems like it. They did at one point.
The rating came from the first live show they did when Hogan and Bischoff walked out.
Which was a 1.5 in the ratings. And last Thursday, they did a 1.4.
No, and I'm going to agree with Mace on this. I'm tired of people bashing TNA for the simple fact of they copy something WWE did, and they won't give WWE the same amount of vitriol or criticism. Because some of the things that WWE does and their booking decisions and their promos are absolutely retarded. And yet TNA does, you know, and WWE gets little to no flack generally for it. And TNA, you know, catches all of it. And it's unfortunate. TNA's, you know, idiocies are at a much baser level. And you can't say, because TNA copied the whole Taker thing. TNA, and was it Phil Strum this week? I think it was Phil Strum. He said it best. TNA gave us everything that we wanted. You know, the moment those promos started on WWE television, everybody went, oh, it's Sting. Oh, it's Sting. Oh, it's Sting. You know, Sting's coming. It's going to be Sting and Taker. And there were fanboy WrestleMania posters out with Sting and Taker facing off. And the internet wrestling community went ballistic of the possibility that it could be Sting. And all TNA did was go, this is the promo. You wanted Sting. Here he is. And everybody bashes him for it, which I don't think is fair.
I don't think it's fair to bash TNA for what expectations people built up all on their own. Like, okay, like, I don't like the fact that they would take these promos and run with it, you know, in the exact same way to capitalize on what WWE was trying to do and the hype that accidentally got built up for Sting over there. And yes, it is a much bigger deal if Sting was going to WWE rather than, oh, well, he's still in TNA and this really isn't anything big or new. And yes, it was advantageous, but, you know, I find it hard to give them credit for that, too. I don't know. Just overall,
I'm done. I'm done with the Hall of Fame, by the way.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
I'm done. It's no longer a Hall of Fame. I'm done. Sorry. I meant to have
you had the same reaction to the spoiler that I did.
Yeah. I'm done.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my problem. You put the title on Sting. What the fuck are you gonna do at this point? Because you had Sting for a whole year last time. did absolutely jack all for him. Nothing. I mean, he was the, was he even around half the time? You know, just between injury and intentionally keeping him off to save dates. And now you bring him back, you put the title belt on him, mostly because people wanted to see him jump to WWE. Mostly because people were getting themselves hyped up for something that most likely was never going to happen. Once again, it is a shock value level of booking, which does not work in the long term, and is what TNA is known for at this point. Sudden turns, sudden returns, sudden title changes. They happen at such a frequency that none of them mean anything anymore because we're 2 weeks away from another one happening. Yeah, and there really isn't much of a surprise for it. Can anyone keep track of if the Pope D'Angelo De Niro is a face or heel anymore? Honestly. Because they change him up so many times just for the sake of surprising people, and it's not a surprise anymore.
Interesting. All right, so take a look at Sting winning the TNA World Championship on Impact and not at a pay-per-view. If you were TNA creative, how would you book his title reign so it stands out, you know, like it's an important title reign instead of something that's transitional or just a handoff, Mace?
You can't. There is no way you can have Sting as a champion and not make it feel like it's going to be another place filler for Hardy.
Yeah.
See, even if they have Sting hand it over to Anderson or he loses it to Anderson or something, it still feels like a gap filler until Hardy gets the belt once again. There's nothing, they've pretty much screwed the pooch. Once again, they have booked themselves into a corner.
Okay.
And frankly, I'm not going to defend them. I'm not even going to try and look at a way out for them. Because like everybody else, like our buddy Jamal, I'm sick of trying to find a reason to defend these guys. I'm done.
Hey.
I'm like Spug.
Hey.
I'm done.
Hey, watch it there. You don't want to be called a racist by Shane Cox of Des Moines, Iowa. Any opportunity I can take to get a shot in at that fucking twit, I will.
Is there anybody listening now who might possibly not have a clue what you're talking about?
I don't think so.
If not, go and tune into OWW Radio, this show last week, or OTL. All three shows where Spug and I have some sort of interaction or are a part of, we have explained this goddamn situation. Every show we were on last week.
We explained it on OWW. I think Alan got a little, like, freaked out because I brought it up.
Yeah, so Shane Cox emailed... OWW Radio after a webcast two weeks ago. And that's where this is all coming from. Where the guy takes something out of context and obviously didn't hear the entire fucking thing.
I'm apparently a overweight backwoods racist Paul Heyman lover.
Well,
I was unaware. I was unaware that I was cast for the lead role in Deliverance.
Well, you are overweight, so, you know, one out of
I am
four.
Not overweight. I am pleasantly plump, thank you. I'm like Winnie the Pooh.
I do my
stoutness exercises.
Yes, Winnie the Pooh with his face in a honeypot all the time.
Yeah, Shut up. There you go. All right. You're big boned. Who knew that was a real thing?
It is a real thing. That's the sad thing, is being big boned is actually a real thing.
Oh, that's very sad. Very sad. Hey, everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrist Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We got some, I guess you could call it a bit of a spoiler Spug's going to bring up. We're going to talk about that, and I'm sure that Mace and Spug have a certain things or five they want to say. And we'll also talk about Bret Hart versus Hulk Hogan yet one more time, this time in the world of social media, having a couple of tweets against each other. All right. Yeah, we'll talk about that, too, in the news and the notes. Hey, everybody, don't go away. We'll be back right after this.
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
And now, a message to our competitors.
Thanks
for tuning us in.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show. So tune in. Listen. I demand it.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Sophia Restaurant, may I help you?
Yes, that brings me to order, please.
What would you like?
Vegetable fried rice.
Huh?
Vegetable fried rice.
Only vegetable.
Vegetable
Hello?
Fried rice. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, vegetable
no
fried
meat.
Rice.
And do you, egg is okay? No egg.
Egg okay.
Okay.
No bok choy?
Oh, we don't have bok choy.
No bok choy? Okay.
Yeah.
Snow peas? You have snow peas?
Yeah, we have snow peas.
Extra snow peas.
What do you mean? You mean to fried rice?
Yes, fried rice.
Oh, fried rice, we don't have snow peas.
No snow pea?
Yeah.
The chicken? You put chicken in there?
Yeah, we have chicken fried rice.
But
you want
chicken
fried rice?
No, I want the vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Oh, that means chicken fried rice, yeah?
No, vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Hello, we have seafood fried rice, beef fried rice, chicken fried rice. Or if you don't want meat, we can make a vegetable fried rice for you. So you want chicken or no chicken?
No, I want the vegetables and the chicken. Can you do both?
We have like a fried rice, we have green peas inside. Not too much vegetables.
Never mind. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Yeah, that was the Hitman's intro music. It's the updated one that he used all last year, starting with his return to WWE. When was that? January the 4th, 2010? I believe
you can buy a t-shirt with my opinion on the matter.
Meh.
Available at tbradio.ewazone.com.
There you go. You see how that tied in? It was almost like we planned it.
Planned? We don't plan shit on this network.
Hey, I plan to take a shit after the show. So there is some planning.
I don't ever need to hear about your bowel movements ever again, thank you.
But yeah, the music coming back somewhat apropos. Bret Hart making news again. So is Hulk Hogan, squaring off against each other. This time in a war of the twits, or should, is that tweets?
No, twits works. I didn't care about it then, and I really don't care about it now.
There you go. They had
it's a tweet war between a twit and a twat.
And we'll leave
twat?
It. I was about to say we'll leave it to the listener to decide who's the twit and who's the twat. But Bret Hart speaking on The Rock when he was WWE champion, saying when Bret was WWE champion back in 97, he would often give Dwayne all of the advice that he could, and he remembers watching him wrestle for the very first time, telling the wrestlers next to him Dwayne was going to be one of the biggest superstars in the wrestling world, and to, you know, mark his words. Well, sure, I guess he's got an eye for talent, and he knows talent when he sees it, is basically what that boils down to. And then he says on inducting Shawn Michaels into the WWE Hall of Fame, he'd like to induct Shawn, but it makes sense for Triple H to do it. He also tweeted about Michael Cole, guys. Michael Cole does a piss poor job of putting over a lot of the talent. He couldn't lace Jim Ross's shoes. Spuck, I dare you to say something derogatory about Hart saying that.
He's a bit busy at the moment. He's talking with Jamal.
Okay. Hart also tweeted about CM Punk, thinking that Punk is uniquely gifted. By the time his career is over, he'll be recognized for his greatness. I do believe that this entire panel pretty much doesn't have any problems agreeing with that one, do we?
I do not. And to go back to the Bret Hart thing, talking about Michael Cole, I can't say anything bad about the twat commenting on Michael Cole on that one.
Bret Hart also talked about how he would improve the TNA product. The very first thing he would do would have Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff tarred and feathered. Mace, your thoughts about that one? Mace has taken off. Omega, your thoughts about that one?
I don't know. Tar and feather seems to be quite tame for what TNA needs right now.
Okay, Spug.
I would tar and feathered, yeah, probably a bit tame for what they need to do, but isn't that at the point where Hogan got involved?
It was after the next tweet that Bret posted.
I would. You and I have had this conversation time and time again off of the air, and probably on the air. People seem to think that I absolutely loathe Bret Hart, and I don't. He is a phenomenally skilled technical worker.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, that's all he is. I hold true to this opinion, and it is mine and mine alone, that he was a much better mid-card guy and could have served the WWE a lot better in, you know, holding the Intercontinental title longer than he did and could still be a star on that level. I mean, look at Mr. Perfect, you know.
Well, at the same time, you have to take a look at the timeline when he was heavyweight world champion.
Let me finish.
Exactly what WWE needed it when the steroids.
Let me finish.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me finish. My personal opinion is that Bret Hart was the best of a bunch of bad options for holding the WWE heavyweight title at the time, because you didn't have anybody really, other than The Undertaker, who was still underdeveloped, who could hold that belt for a substantial amount of time and be a draw to the company like Bret Hart was.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that with the fact that they went through that story scandal, Vince getting in trouble and being indicted before eventually being acquitted, I don't think the WWE would have quite probably successfully launched the Attitude Era the way they did after everything went down if it was somebody else holding the belt besides Bret.
Hogan holding the belt to start the Attitude Era doesn't work. Now, I'll give you that. But.
Okay. Yeah. So it was a very dark time for the then WWF when Bret held the belt, and I do believe that because of that, his title, you know, his initial title run wasn't really given as fair a shake as it probably should have, Mace.
Yeah, don't know, don't care.
Okay.
I'm sorry. The second you started talking about this whole Twitter thing, I switch off.
Okay, Omega.
So I'm so glad we have someone as opinionated as Mace.
Meh.
Always
got to get the right story. It's got to be the right story.
He's
right,
waiting
right.
For his time. He's the fisherman of wrestling journalism. Just
there
waiting
you go.
Patiently. I don't know. See, it is a little bit hazy in my brain since that was when I was still a wee lad. Still just barely getting into wrestling and just, I can remember Hulk Hogan at the time. I can remember Shawn Michaels at the time and everything else gets a little sketchy.
Okay.
I would probably, from what I recall, I would probably agree, yeah, Bret could have had a better shakedown, but at the time, who better? Like, you know, Spug does have a point. There wasn't a lot to work with at the time, which is a similar time to what we're hitting right now in the WWE. Very talent deprived, very few that could actually hold a belt and actually be credible as a champion or as a challenger. So, you know, we do have parallels to draw in this situation, at least.
Okay. Well, here's the tweet that Hogan finally responded to. Spug, you've probably been waiting for this. On Hulk Hogan, Bret tweeted that Hogan cut his face. Don't laugh until I get it out. Jeez, man. Hogan's nothing.
Bad phrasing. Bad phrasing.
Oh, Jesus, Jamal.
Oh, he read Facebook. Okay.
Yeah, what, did you think he was laughing at you?
I have no idea. That's why I told him to shut up until I got the tweet out.
I'm talking to Kevin Scott on Facebook.
Well, congratulations.
I forwarded him the emails about him calling me, you know, being called a racist. And his email is an AOL email. And I said, seriously, dude, an AOL email? Too lazy for Gmail? And he says, I have a big penis. No need to get fancy with the email.
Okay. Bad. Back to Bret tweeting about Hogan. Hogan's nothing but a two-faced backstabbing steroid freak who deserves everything he got. Hogan's rebuttal. Listen to where Bret's speaking from. It's funny he's done everything he's saying I did. Bret came back with, that's not what John Graziano thinks, dickhead. Omega?
I just think it's funny he resorts to the phrase dickhead.
Okay.
I don't know. At that point, it's kind of like, I don't know. That's the equivalent of Hogan shouting, you started it. Which definitely isn't true in this case, but it has as much credibility.
Okay. Hogan also tweeted that Owen Hart was really cool. Several times he came to me representing the Hart family, apologizing for Bret's actions.
It was a rib. Owen's
now,
love of good jokes.
Now, on speaking, when Owen cannot back up the story, Omega, this goes back to you saying he started it. It all started when Brett spoke for John Graziano.
Oh, boy. I don't know. It's hard for me to believe anything Hogan says anymore.
Yeah, well, now, my question is, who here has read Bret Hart's autobiography? My real life in the cartoon world of pro wrestling.
I'm sure you keep it on your bedside table.
No, actually, I never had it until just recently, thanks to the thanks to Sir Rockin. And
are
I
you
just
kidding?
I just finished reading the book.
Now that Tim has it, it's where he it's right next to where he keeps his Jergens and Kleenex.
All right.
Fuck you.
You're such a dickhead.
God. Thank you for making that one, Spug, because my other backup joke was, and the Psalm of Bret Hart, chapter 4, verse 3.
I don't think so. really quick news and notes. The Brazilian website, tatami.com, reports that Chris Cyborg Santos is negotiating with the WWE. Story claims she's frustrated by the lack of fights she's been getting and met with WWE officials while the company was in California. However, that has been denied by the WWE. Is this another swerve by the WWE and they're actually in negotiations, or legit they're not talking?
What?
Let's go with legit not talking, and frankly, why the hell would she? Take a look at the history of MMA people involved in WWE or wrestling in particular. Let's point out exhibits A, B, and C, otherwise known as Ken Shamrock, Dan Severn, and Tank Abbott. They didn't go anywhere. Then went back to MMA, got their asses kicked, and retired.
Not true. Not true at all in the case of Dan Severn.
Yeah, true.
And need I remind you?
Can't remember Severn actually being having his ass whooped.
Need I remind you? Dan Severn and Ken Shamrock are both NWA World Heavyweight Champions. Dan Severn, however, is more respected than Ken Shamrock.
Mm-hmm. Still, meh.
Oh, Beth, shut your mouth. Oh, God, please shut your mouth.
Now what, Spug?
Beth Phoenix tweets, interesting. It's easy to dominate in any fighting division without the Glamazon, and WWE, prepare to be humbled by yours truly. Honey, you're talking about a woman who might be able to reach down your throat and rip out your larynx before you have time to lift a pinky finger. I've seen Christian Cyborg Santos fight. There is a reason she is 4-time reigning female fighter of the year. All right, Gina Carano is good. Cyborg Santos, better. Mace, we watched a Strikeforce pay-per-view where Cyborg Santos fought. And that
yes.
And the girl she fought was, I believe, in the category last year for Female Fighter of the Year, and literally got her ass handed to her in, what, 36 seconds?
Yeah, something around the 30-second mark.
It was literally 7 punches, and it looked like Cyborg Santos was going to punch through the back of this girl's head. I'm
one tough bitch, and as big as Beth Phoenix is, I don't think she would have a hope in hell.
I do find it hilarious that the complaint is, oh, hey, I'm not getting enough real fights in MMA. I'm gonna go wrestle instead.
Fake facts. Yeah,
sense.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, seeing as we're talking about divas, he said.
Oh, God.
Go ahead, Spug.
Hang on. I gotta buckle in for this.
Okay, yeah, buckle down. Go ahead, Spug.
It's not a Hall of Fame anymore.
Now, elaborate and let the listeners know exactly what's got you, I don't know, steamed?
Your next Hall of Fame inductee? The original diva, Tammy Lynn Sitch.
Now, she's going in as a diva, reportedly, is she?
I don't know what she's going in as, but you slap in the face Moolah, Mae Young, Wendy Richter, Sensational Sherry, Miss Elizabeth, and the long litany of people that come before you if you refer to yourself as the original diva. Last well, time I checked, you were a coked up whore.
Ooh.
Oh.
Ooh.
Plus, if there's anybody who can be called the original diva, it's a pretty much a draw between Moolah and Mae Young. Look at their characters back then. They are the archetype of today's diva.
That I understood where Mace was going with that. That's why I didn't say anything, Tim. No, Tammy Cinch, all right, you take all credibility out of your Hall of Fame if you put her in it. For the simple fact of she contributed nothing. Nothing to the world of women's professional wrestling that in any way, shape, or form could make it better. Now, people would say, well, you could say that about Miss Elizabeth, and you probably could. You probably could. But Miss Elizabeth, I will give you, is the model, the atypical model for female manager in today's professional wrestling. The stereotypical archetype for what a female manager should and is. With Tammy Cinch, didn't Tammy Cinch get her and Chris Candido both fired from WWE because of her mouth? Wasn't that the case? Didn't she get them fired? And to turn around. And I've heard story after story of her being unapproachable, of her being arrogant and egotistical. There was a company here in Ohio that was trying to book her, and she wanted her airfare paid for first class, wanted her hotel accommodations paid for, and wanted like a $2,000 booking fee? Now, granted, that's all what the promoter said she wanted. Somewhere in the middle lies the truth.
Okay, well, all I can say is for the Hall of Fame ceremonies, hide the gym. Here comes Tammy Lynn.
I'm so... It is beyond me why there are tons and tons and tons of people that you could put in above and beyond her in the female wrestling world, okay? You could put in Miss Elizabeth. You could put in, Sherry Martel is already in there. Luna Vachon. You could put in Luna Vachon posthumously. There are quite a few people that you could put in above Tammy Cinch, and yet you go with her. To me, and again, this goes back to the argument of Randy Macho Man Savage, Rick Rude, and a host of others are still known are not in your Hall of Fame, and yet Tammy Cinch now has the "I'm a Hall of Famer" tag that she can put on her little resume when getting booked by places.
Well, I'm gonna just throw this out there, and there's somebody in the chat room that basically just said what I'm about to express. I would look at certain individuals like Mae Young, Moolah, Sherry Martel, even as not divas as we know them today. Tammy Cinch was pretty much the first thing that we saw in WWE that actually led to the charts that we have in WWE now who are called divas.
Okay, would you
wrestlers.
Consider,
okay?
Let me ask you
I would put them in as female wrestlers, not divas. That's a total separate category is what I'm saying.
I want to ask you this. Would you consider Frank Gotch or Frank Hackenschmidt, professional wrestlers by today's standards?
Well, by today's standards, they were what we now refer to as amateur wrestlers.
But it was called professional wrestling back then.
But that's what professional wrestling was.
Today's divas are more simply female professional wrestlers with a fancier title.
They're more eye candy today than the women wrestlers were in the 70s and the 60s and the 50s, going back even to the 40s.
The thing is that it stays the same. The title changes, and I don't care if you want to, you know, say that Moolah and Mae Young were more women's professional wrestlers than they are divas. That's fine, but they are what the idea and the archetype of the diva was built off of. And it is a slap in the face to individuals like that for Sonny to walk around and call herself the original diva.
Well, when you look at it, you know, there's no way in hell you're going to call Penny Banner, Mae Young, Moolah. You're not going to call them divas. They are a totally different animal than what we have now. So it's not just the name that has changed. These gals were as tough as nails as their male counterparts, and they went through a lot more than these girls today sure as hell do. The girls today are more eye candy than anything else. The girls back in the day were actual performers.
Okay, Tim?
Yeah.
I'm going to say this. Have a look at the last few times they have brought out Mae Young. They announce her as a diva.
Well, yeah, okay. They do now.
What belt did they put in to the Divas Championship that is currently around the waist of whichever bimbo they've got it on now?
Yeah, it's the
Divas Women's Championship. They've changed women's wrestling from being proper women's wrestling and women's wrestlers into the Divas of today.
Yeah.
Spug is correct. They've changed the title. That's it. The same basis is still there. Today's women might be classed as divas, but they are still women's wrestlers.
Wait, what?
So I don't know.
Is the world coming to an end?
You're freaking them up because you're like agreeing with them. Wow.
Yeah, it's two times in one night, Spug. Let's not make a habit of it.
Holy Christ, Armageddon. 2012 is coming up, guys. Get ready.
But mind you, Spug brought up one name that I would love to see put in the Hall of Fame. Luna Vachon.
Oh, Luna. Yeah, I would like to see
Luna, definitely.
Miss Elizabeth.
Luna just got put into the WSU Hall of Fame this past weekend. I'd like to see her in the WWE Hall of Fame, especially before Sunny.
Can't disagree with you. Unfortunately, that won't happen. But Miss Elizabeth deserves to go into the Hall of Fame as a manager. Not
she
diva.
She deserves to be in the
Put
Hall of Fame.
Put her and Savage in at the same time.
That would be interesting.
That might take a while.
Right now,
Vegas has odds on who goes in first, Owen or Randy.
Owen.
Ooh.
Who's winning?
It's a
Who's
tie.
Who's got the best odds? It's a tie.
Owen,
God
it's a tie.
Damn.
Well, they're saying that there's no way Owen's going in until Martha passes away. That sounds a little harsh, maybe.
Tim, we can fix that. Start the car.
Yeah, no, forget it. I'm not going to be involved in that, you guys.
Dude, all you have to do is be the getaway driver. We'll fix up the rest.
Mace, have you seen my car? Not a fucking hope in hell.
All right.
Oh,
no,
right.
Fine.
Oh,
get it on these rickshaws and take us that way.
No, he's right, because remember, he's still got the Flintstones pedal car.
Also known as the 1993 Mazda MX-3 Presidia.
The thing with Owen or Savage, Owen will make it in first because at some point the entire Hart family is going to turn around and slap her in the mouth and go, one, do you see the amount of money we're missing out on here? And two, you know, I think that the Hart family can only take her, you know, bashing their profession and lineage for so long.
Well, they have basically taken it since Owen married her, and I don't want to denigrate either her or Owen's memory. Fact of the matter is, when we unfortunately lost Owen, she basically completely removed herself and her son and daughter from the rest of the Hart family.
It'll come. I don't know how old his kids are now. I think they're in their teenage years, aren't they?
Well, Oge is like 18 now, 17 or 18.
He has probably grown up in a household that has vilified pro wrestling. Vilified. And he's going to come to a point in his life where he is going to want to know about Dad and going to go seek out somebody from the family.
Yeah.
If he hasn't already. I mean, this is just me hypothesizing here, not stating fact at all. But he is going to want to know. And I think at that point, you know, if your children start you do crazy things for your children.
No.
Crazy things for your children.
Well, let me ask you as you're going along here, just include this answer in what you're saying. Do you think that maybe Martha has rewritten history, kind of like WWE has rewritten history where Chris Benoit is concerned?
Possibly, but I think that those are, from a fan's point of view, they're two different things. Because obviously one was a grisly double murder suicide, and one was a careless accident that, you know, is mired in rumor, innuendo, and finger pointing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've heard stories where, and I don't believe that it's true, but I've seen the picture of the actual rope, but I've heard stories where people have said that Owen accidentally panicked, you know, cause he was legit afraid of heights and panicked and pulled the emergency release too early.
Well, the fact of the matter is, and the truth of the matter is, the release was the wrong weighted release. The thing let go under 10 pounds of pressure. Owen exerted more than that with a deep breath.
Right. So it was, you know, like I say, could she have rewritten history for her family? Sure. Could she have painted WWE to be out a bunch of villains that murdered her husband? Probably. You know, but the fortunate thing in all of this, and the silver lining in all of this, is that whether you believe in God, Allah, Buddha, you know, Vishnu, whomever, we were given free will as human beings and curiosity. And Owen's children will one day seek out the truth behind what happened and the memory of their father.
Well, I think that...
And I think that that day is going to come sooner rather than later, and we will see Owen in the Hall of Fame because of it.
Well, no, I was just about to agree. I'm thinking that the catalyst for Owen finally rightfully being respected the way he should properly by being posthumously inducted in the Hall of Fame lies with his children, not with Martha. Because as long as Martha has any say in the matter, dudes, ain't gonna happen. Go ahead, Mace.
Well, just a random thought hit me while you guys are going on about Martha and, you know, the kids wanting to find out what their dad did.
Yep.
How the hell do they try and keep it from the kids when, you know, Uncle Brett turns up, or, you know, Uncle Bruce. You know, here it is. The Harts are pretty much 9/10 wrestling, no matter which one you pick. You could have a Hart family reunion and go, I pick you in the back fifth to the left. What do you do? I'm a wrestler! Well, no shit, so are the rest of us.
Yeah, but the difference there, Mason, I mentioned it like 10 minutes ago. Martha has basically completely removed herself and the kids from the rest of the Hart family. You know, and with the Hart family, yeah, there ain't no such thing as a family reunion with the Hart family. I mean, the closest thing you got to a family reunion was the Hart showing up at WrestleMania last year.
The thing with like her, and this is where I kind of wish that Stu was still around, is that he'd have pulled her aside and said, listen, you know, that may be your husband, but that's my son. Mm. And he'd have set this straight a long time ago.
Well, they tried, Stu and Helen both in their way tried while they were still alive just after we lost Owen. But the thing is, you're saying Stu. No, it wouldn't have been Stu doing that. Stu was the disciplinarian and the teacher. It was Helen that was the glue of that family. And when she died, that's when the Hart family started to unravel and fall apart.
But to go back, the kids, Owen's kids are going to be what get him into the Hall of Fame.
Which is something I 100% agree with. Totally.
It's not going to be if Martha's still alive or not. It's going to be his kids.
Yeah.
Because they're, we all grow up to a point and realize at some point that our parents have either lied or misguided us on things. You know, the Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, whatever. And we learn, you know. And for some reason, and most of them are harmless. Again, the Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy. And we pass those down to our kids.
Yeah.
But some other things, you know, that our parents have lied to us about or misguided us on, or based upon their own fears, worries, or hatreds. And they don't want us to, like, you know, to have to experience those things either. And it's the same with Martha Hart and the loathing and detest of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
She's done that to her kids, and eventually at some point, they're going to want to know exactly what daddy did and exactly what daddy was like and who's the best person to tell them.
Yeah.
Professional wrestlers.
Yeah. Yeah. So it will be them seeking out Brett and Bruce and Ross and I don't know, maybe Smith, but don't hold your breath on that one.
Hey,
but,
I'd laugh my ass off if those kids actually end up becoming professional wrestlers.
I wouldn't laugh. I'd see the irony and the humor in it, in the irony, but I really don't think that'll happen. One final question before we move on here, guys. Once all of this is all taken care of and, Owen's son and daughter are of legal age, do you see them turning around and maybe resenting Martha a little bit for all of her actions since Owen's death?
I'd go with no, but at the same time, there might be a bit of disappointment. You know, if you want to learn about your parents, you'll learn about your parents. You know, my father left when I was like 2 years old. I have tried to seek him out a few times. I have tried to learn about him, even though my mother didn't want me to.
Mm-hmm.
There's always ways around this type of thing.
Yeah.
So as Spug's been saying, you know, if the kids want to learn, the kids will learn.
Okay, there you go. Omega?
I haven't had any point. Every point that I would think of has been made. But.
Well, think of other ones. Damn it. Quit being like everybody else.
I think it's been covered pretty damn well at this point. I hope Owen gets in sooner than later, regardless of how that happens. And, you know, honestly, I hadn't thought of, you know, the direction that would go in, that if someone's going to do it, maybe it would be the kids. You know, I hadn't ever thought of that before.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, on that note.
And by the way, Sonny in the Hall of Fame is bullshit. Since I didn't get to say that at any point during this conversation. You just kind of went off on your Owen tangent without me.
Interesting. It's, you know, Owen tangent, own tangent. Well, you know, anyway. Tell you what, why don't we take our final quick little time out here, come back, spend 30 seconds on TNA's Victory Road pay-per-view, because, you know, there are no matches set. And then wrap this bad man pajama up. Everybody, you'll listen to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back right after this.
This is Mace, the overworked co-host of WrestleTalk Radio, OWW Radio, Otaku Talk Live, the offside producer, Cindy's cleaning boy, building janitor, advertising guru, Spug's bong holder, drink runner, Omega's transformer record keeper, and bashing the books, all here on WildTalkRadio.com. If you decide to listen to a show that features a bit of the old-fashioned ultra-violence, people getting their heads kicked in, bones broken, and bloody crazy fights, then come on over and listen to Tap Outs to Knockouts live in the archive section of WildTalkRadio.com.
Mace, it's not all about the bloody stuff and the ultra-violence. Hey, this is Spud from Tap Outs to Knockouts. And if you want to hear the news, results, the technical side of MMA, then check us out on WildTalkRadio.com in the archive section. And oh yeah, we do have the bloody stuff.
And now I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey! What are you guys doing in here? Get back to sweeping.
I hear voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present, such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling,
www.audiowrestling.com,
and check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling,
keeping you tuned in
since 1996.
This is Bob the Farm Mage telling you to tune in to Otaku Talk Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. How am I doing this? Don't tell me I bent walls of space and time again. God damn casting magic missile.
I like to sing with the radio. I like to play it real loud. Read the words that are written in my face. Oh, I believe them. I believe it's a shameful fate to block your head. A careless man who could wind up dead. You wear your sin like it's some kind of pride.
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey, Omega, quick question for you.
Uh-huh.
Have you had your blood pressure and pulse checked recently?
Not in the last 10 minutes, no.
Oh, I had mine checked today.
Really?
127 over 91 with a resting heart rate of 55 beats a minute.
Huh. Okay. Thank you.
Just thought
you'd like. I want to take this opportunity before Omega has time to get a point in about the current recession rate in China.
Fuck you. Go to hell with everyone else and your goddamn tangents.
Yeah, Spud, that was a bit of a dick thing to do. So that being said, let's take a look at TNA Victory Road. No matches officially announced. Thank you for tuning in to our TNA Victory Road pay-per-view. What the hell? Omega, how are you going to sell a goddamn pay-per-view when you don't have any matches set up, lined up, ready to go?
You speak of this like TNA knows how to sell a pay-per-view to begin with.
Well, they do have Eric Bischoff at the helm.
That puts so much faith in me.
With, the icon, Bulk Choking.
You know, because of course there's, you know, too many pay-per-views right now. You know, it'll take someone with bigger balls than him to change it. By the way, go watch our Victory Road pay-per-view this week.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, maybe he's showing that he's got balls changing the mold. Yeah, we got a pay-per-view. Buy it and watch. What's on? Well, you'll have to buy it to find out.
Bigger balls than Hogan. You mean Linda?
We're going to book the whole match by Magic 8-Ball live on the air.
That would be an awesome concept. That's worse than Ross Roulette Wheel.
Wait. Lethal Lottery. Anybody remember that one?
No.
Oh.
Damn it. No.
Oof.
We have a whole pay-per-view devoted to Bischoff's bad gimmick pay-per-views from WCW. Okay, we're going to put four corners. We're going to put a pole in every corner and a box. And one of them's got a belt.
Wouldn't that be awesome to open up a professional wrestling hall of shame the night before, TNA Genesis?
I think you'd have to in TNA's case.
Yeah, there you go.
This is the company that before Eric Bischoff came around was booking matches where the entire ring was decked out like the freaking Alamo.
Mm-hmm. Well, taking a look at TNA, which is always a lot of fun because there's so much to pick out and pick on. It's a sad thing that we're so negative with TNA because the guys working their asses off in the ring to entertain do, you know, the most amazing work in that ring to entertain the wrestling fan. The real crying shame of it is, it has such a WCW feel where everything is booked 30 seconds before airtime.
Whereas, I don't give it that much credit.
You know for a fact WWE has story arcs where they plan out a minimum 3 to 6 months in advance in some cases, and some stories, some storylines, some angles, they actually plan out for 12 months in advance. Now, of course, they refine, change, and tweak it. But at least the basic guideline is there. Am I not right? Of course I'm right. He said, answering his own goddamn question. Yeah.
You've proven the difference just what we were talking about before. You know, them taking the idea of them taking the return promos and running with it to book the return of Sting. You know they didn't plan that out 2 months ago.
Yep.
They did that in the last couple of weeks minimum.
Well, how long have the WWE promos for Undertaker's return been going on? A month?
Not even that.
Like 3 weeks?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to cut you off here, but just want to get the point out so you can respond to it fully. I'm thinking TNA saw this. They saw what's going on the interwebs with all of us IWC hardcore nut job saying, oh, it's Sting. I know what. I'm going to Photoshop Sting like Joker holding a card that's got Undertaker on it, and people are going to eat it up, and it's going to be awesome hype. Well, it is awesome hype. Only problem is, it's not what they were doing. It's Undertaker's returning, and right on his heels is Triple H. So if you're expecting Sting, you're fucked. TNA sees all of this and says, you know what? They're expecting Sting. We'll give him Sting.
Aye.
I'm done. Go ahead.
You know, I don't know. I mean, it's what, you know, it's one thing to, okay, let me put to you this way. They just had a big video game conference where Nintendo came out and said it was a discouraging thing that you had more people in the industry seeing what's popular and seeing the trends and capitalizing on it rather than creating your own trends and letting it capitalize on itself. Because Nintendo can clout that because they started the motion gaming trend that everyone else has now copied because it was so damn successful. Here's your problem. When you are doing nothing but copying everybody else, you're not doing anything. You're not truly doing anything. You are only replicating. You are not innovating. You are not doing anything new or bringing anything new to the forum. All you have proven is that you have no imagination of your own and you cannot stand on your own 2 feet. And by going for this spoof of the Undertaker return, you have just proven that you can't do a damn thing by yourself and that you had no plan of your booking. You are just going off the seat of your pants, no plan whatsoever, whatever you think of that week makes it to TV.
Very, very well stated. Mace, the old saying is lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. TNA, are they tripping, trying to get out of the way while they're following, or what?
I have no idea, but maybe Jeff Hardy's been dealing his supplies backstage a bit more often than not.
Quite possible. Speaking about Jeff Hardy, any chance that he's going to jail once all of the stays and continuances have been eaten up? Spud, what do you think?
Please, God, please. Please. I don't ask for much. Suitcase full of 50s. A stripper who likes to give head. You know, a girl with a nice booty that bounces when I fuck her. I don't ask for much. Please, God, let Jeff Hardy go to jail.
All right, we're going to do something new, guys. A little something called Random Takes. Are you ready for this? I'm going to ask you a question or posit a scenario for you. Let you guys just, and the person I single out, this is yours. Nobody else can, you know, step in and shit like that. Here it is. Random Takes. Omega, this one's for you. The health of the Undertaker. Talk about it.
The doctor finally went, oh, sorry, we're all out of duct tape. It's unfortunate. It's hilarious. I find it unfortunate that we joke about Undertaker's health so much, and now he has fucked it up himself by, like, he's the workhorse. I will give him that. He knows how to work through an injury. He had one of the better cage matches I've ever seen with, you know, his bicep completely torn off the bone. Props to him. Doesn't matter a damn bit if you break yourself down and can't go, you know, and screw up the rest of your career, though. You're gonna find out really damn quick that it was probably a bad idea to book, you know, another obvious win for Undertaker at WrestleMania, because Trips is retiring this year. No chance of that. No chance of him, you know, taking the torch and running with it. He's gotta make it one more year, and I doubt Taker can make it at this point. Unless you just sit him at home with ice bags on him for the next year.
Well, what do you think the chances are he's going to work a very, very light schedule through WrestleMania 28 in 2012, retire?
Light schedule. Jeez, I think Michael Cole's going to have more wrestling matches this year than Undertaker.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Are you done?
I'm done. It's your segment. You didn't designate a time limit.
Well, there was no time limit, so that's all good. I just wanted to make sure you got everything out.
I've had my piece. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, here's the next random take. If this was 10 years ago, would WWE have offered Charlie Sheen a contract to appear at WrestleMania? Spud.
They would have given Charlie Sheen the title. The dude is the best heel ever.
It's all a work.
Anything, he's a winner.
Anything that comes out of that man's mouth is gold. He would win the title belt on Tiger Blood alone.
Winning.
So what are the chances
do it again, Rock.
Winning.
See?
What are the chances that WWE might actually still look at Charlie Sheen and book him sometime this year for something?
Only if he continues this downward spiral to oblivion, because it's absolutely gold.
You can't write this shit.
No. This isn't faked. It isn't a work. It isn't Charlie Sheen trying to get publicity. This dude is batshit crazy, and it's great.
Can we get him to do the national anthem with Justin Bieber?
Oh. Wouldn't you be afraid for Justin Bieber's life if he showed up at the
same time? That's why! That's the point!
Alright.
I would be afraid for one thing if Charlie Sheen showed up at WrestleMania. The amount of hookers that are gonna be needed in the city of Atlanta.
That's Vince in the back going, God, if only we hadn't fired Jeff.
Don't you think that they might have to offer a contract to the Godfather if that's the case?
Dude, this is a guy who admitted, I'm out crushing 7-gram rocks because that's how I roll. I mean, I don't think the city of Atlanta has enough hookers and crack cocaine to satisfy Charlie Sheen's appetite.
Definitely Charlie Sheen, a case of life imitating art. He's playing his 2.5 men starring role in real life.
No. This is art imitating life.
No. Don't you realize 2.5 men is a documentary? Okay.
Yes,
there you go.
The show was never taking place in a studio. There was never a script. That was a camera in his front room. He didn't even know it was there.
There you go. All right. Final random take of the night. Mace, the push of Sheamus. Where the hell did it go?
I don't know, but we're offering a $500,000 reward. Mind you, it might come in the form of Mexican pesos, which is still valued higher than the American dollar.
Oh, fuck you.
There you go.
Probably true, yeah, but fuck you.
Oh my god.
Hey, it's in the same place wherever the hell Desmond Wolf is.
Professional wrestling's very own the Twilight Zone. There you go. One last comment. Charlie Sheen, dudes, everybody, it's an act. He's working everybody. And
No, that's not a work, Tim.
He's working everybody. Now,
if you want to believe
now, time for the last segment of the night. We call this one Quick Hits. Let's do it.
Wait. Before we go to Quick Hits, can I just bring up something just very, very quickly?
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, very, very soon you'll be able to buy the NWA World Heavyweight Championship on ILikeLickingWrestlingBoots.com, otherwise known as Colt Cabana's website.
Oh.
The bastard is the NWA World Heavyweight Champion.
And that just grinds your gears.
Winning.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's do this.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio Quick Hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio Quick Hits.
right, Spike, starting with you, after WrestleMania, would you be interested in seeing the Core versus an Edge Christian feud?
Starting at WrestleMania?
After WrestleMania. Starting after WrestleMania.
No. I really wouldn't, because after being at SmackDown on Tuesday, I think they have other plans for the Core.
Okay. So, and you're not interested then?
No, I'm really not. It's... One, it's two completely different styles. And two, there's just not enough star power there. There's not enough to book there to be a good feud.
Even though it's Edge and Christian and they could probably carry the entire feud on their backs?
Even if it is Edge and Christian, you still have to have a really good counter opponent.
Counter.
I mean, counterpart.
Yeah.
You still have to have... like, the reason why Cena and The Rock works is because it's Cena and The Rock.
Okay.
You know, the only other solid part of that feud between the Core and Edge and Christian would be that Wade Barrett is actually a semi-decent heel.
Okay. Mace, Shark Boy, released from TNA. Are you sad to see him go?
What, you mean the guy who hasn't really been on television for the past, what, couple of friggin' years?
Yeah.
Hopefully this means the end of that friggin' Austin ripoff that he's doing and he gets back to actually being Sharkboy on the independents and he actually finds passion for wrestling once again.
Okay. Omega, are you disappointed to find out there is no Money in the Bank match this year at WrestleMania?
Disappointed because it means the goddamn pay-per-view for it is still on. I just wonder where there's so many paychecks that are for mid-carders at WrestleMania that aren't going to get paid out this year thanks to that loss. Like, God, I literally, like, if I can go, can I go beyond my 60 seconds? Because this actually corresponds with a thought I had the other day.
Go ahead.
Okay. How about you just, like, come up with a new concept for the ladder match where, okay, usually the IC belt and the US title, they're never in their own matches anymore. It's all, you know, they always got lumped into Money in the Bank. So how about you do this? Hang both belts up for a ladder match, and it's not unification or anything. You know, defending champions have to go up, grab their own belts, defend their own titles. Anyone can take any belt. Match doesn't end until both champions are crowned. You've got guys, you know, you got opportunities for, you know, all the young stars, you get your big spot match in, you get your big ladder match in, you have spots where you can have guys choose to go to other brands by picking the wrong belt or accidentally end up on the wrong brand. You've got a lot of possibilities to work with, and hey, guess what? WrestleMania actually has the mid-card titles defended.
Oh,
imagine
there's
that concept. And that way you still get like 8 mid-card paychecks out there.
Okay, good one. All right, so we're back up at the top. Spud, question number 2.
Didn't you ask Mace?
Didn't I ask Mace? Yes, I did. Shark Boy, remember?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
Oh,
good,
okay.
Nobody else remembers Shark Boy.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Oh,
sorry, Omega, jumped on your joke too early.
Yeah. I just read the second question for Spug. This is going to be fun. Omega, my apologies. Spug, if you saw Omega's face on a condom wrapper, your first reaction would be...
His marketing at TJ Omega's got out of hand. either that. What would really scare me? All right, is I've seen Omega's face, okay, and he's not an unfortunate looking soul, but he does give cheesy facial expressions from time to time. If I saw him doing, like, the Buddy Christ pose with a thumbs up on the front of a condom wrapper, that might disturb me a little bit. That might be a little too much.
That's a little over the top.
Oh, and now introducing right. my new brand of condoms, the Lita, made of 100% lead.
All right, Mace. If there was a comic book made about WTR, what would the title of the comic book be?
Well, if it was made about WTR, it would actually be WTR. Just like, you know, WWE has their WWE Heroes brand. I can't even tell you who'd really produce it. Actually, yeah, I would. Probably made by ZineScope, where we'd have, you know, lots and lots of blood and guts and destruction and women in very tight and revealing clothing. And everybody get their own little spin-off one-shot. Mind you, wouldn't be published anywhere for 6 months, but they get to it eventually.
Okay, not that that was a shot against what company did you call it, Zima?
ZineScope.
ZineScope.
Hey, great company. They just need to get their publishing schedule fixed up, which is really funny because I actually talk to the editor quite often.
Get that shit together. All right. Mega, last question of the night, and I do not know why Rock gets his cheap thrills out of doing shit like this, but what cartoon character, in your opinion, best describes yours truly?
Do you know who Hubert from Family Guy is?
Hey there, Chris. The hot one today. Want to come inside?
No, wrong old man, Spock. You're going for Family Guy, he said.
Wait, Family Guy.
You did say Family Guy. For a second there, I thought you said Futurama, because either one works.
No. He said Family Guy. I know exactly who he said. That's why I started doing it.
No,
he's talking
worry,
about the old pedophile. Fuck you, motherfucker.
Hey, you could also be Hubert James Farnsworth from Futurama. Either way, old man, it works.
Hey
that
there.
That Gene Garrett was a little spicy. Yeah, suck my dick, bitch.
Hey
no,
there.
No. You know, I could have said Jaga from Thundercats. You know, old, wise, and most likely already dead.
Okay, you're lucky you live in Florida.
Look like you could use a pudding pop. Why don't you come inside? I hope you brought me some good news with the paper.
Fuck you.
And this is why I stop after two jokes.
Yeah. Well, you came so dangerously close this time, it wasn't even funny. For those of you who don't know what just happened, we just hung up. Okay, I just hung up on Spud. God damn you, Rock. I didn't... Oh. Anyway, that's it. We're done. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Don't forget, next Sunday night we're on after the pay-per-view, TNA Victory Road. So tune in to find out what happened on the pay-per-view, because apparently it's the only way you're going to get to see him this Tuesday night, OWW Radio. Road War Animal going to be on live, 9 o'clock Eastern. And Wednesday, three of these nut jobs get together for Otaku Talk Live. You got anything going on, or is it just another bullshit session?
I believe it's another bullshit session, because we really need to get together and, like, come up with topic ideas. You know, like we intended to, you know, every week for the last month.
Well, why don't one of you guys just go to one of those fucking nerd conventions between now and then you'll have a lot of stuff to talk about.
Gotta wait till June.
I've got one in April, so we're getting there.
Friday night is open. If you'd like to do a show, get in touch. Email admin@wildtalkradio.com. Saturday night's all right for fighting. Any tap out to knockout stuff going on this Saturday, you guys?
Spug.
What? I'm reading emails. Busy. There isn't a fight this weekend, I don't think.
I can't remember when the fights are. You're the one who keeps the goddamn schedule.
Okay, there you go. I love organization.
Oh, my God. Shane Cox of Des Moines, Iowa. You are no longer worth talking about. You are a fucking retard.
And on that note, CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, where Rock starts talking about shit like, condom wrappers and what would happen if a famous face was on the cover.
Yes, exactly. That's what we do. Random bullshit talk that we can find on the interwebs. Tune in. You never know what we'll talk about. Midnight-ish.
And, of course, like I said earlier, WTR, Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio, on immediately following TNA's Victory Road. And we'll spend a good 15 minutes talking about that baby.
Woohoo!
Because, well, that'll make up for the preview that we were able to get through so in-depth tonight.
15 times more the coverage.
There you go. Everybody, have yourselves a great week. We'll catch you next Sunday night. We are out!
Remember to come inside if you want some popsicles.
Spud, you're fired.